Hey, everybody. Welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast. I'm Phil Pringle, and I'm so excited about what we have in store for you today. Hey, if you're enjoying the messages, don't forget to hit that subscribe button, and we'd love to hear you rate and review us, help us to do better. Let's go listen to this message right now. Such a great time to be worshiping God. I mean, you can complain or you can give thanks. You can worry or worship. You can panic or pray. It's a choice. The trouble is the panic and the worry and the fear, they come uninvited. It's forced entry. It's like they just push the door down, roll into our emotions and take over. We hear some bad information. The thing with faith is, and fearless living, is that you got to find that switch and turn it on and say, I'm not going to be afraid. I refuse to let my emotions be overwhelmed, drowned, my mind to spin around with anxiety and worry. I refuse it. I'm going to believe God's word. And as you speak the word of the Lord to yourself, it gives faith. In Romans chapter 10, we read about how faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. When you hear the word of God, it puts faith in you. And that faith is what you use to believe the word of God. It's a fantastic opportunity God has given us from heaven to link with the power of God. That's the link. But it's often the weakest link in our chain because we fall into disbelief. We fall into doubt. We start worrying and the link changes. But when you put that faith in your spirit and in your mind, you decide to be a faith person, not a fear person. You reconnect that link with God in heaven. You get an anchor for your soul, an anchor of hope, and you're able to draw near to God and you feel the presence of God in your life and He'll help you with your circumstances. There is no doubt about that. If you reach out to Him, He will answer you. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord, whoever calls on the name of the Lord, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And He's no respecter of persons, never has been. So what He has done for anybody in times past, in before the New Testament, during the New Testament, when Jesus was here, He healed lepers, He healed blind people. He's no respecter of persons. If He did it for them, He will do it for you. It's not like you have to prove that you're anything. He has imputed worth, the worth of Christ into your life. You are completely right with God when you receive Jesus and ready to receive every benefit of the new covenant. So I want to talk a bit more about that but God factor right now, taking from the scripture as we lead into Easter, remembering the death of Jesus in Acts 13, verse 29 to 31, says, when they had fulfilled all the prophecies concerning His death, they took Him down from the cross and placed Him in a tomb. But God raised Him from the dead. So beautiful. That whatever is locking you up, shutting you down, silencing you, sealing you, guarding you, walling you in, but God is able to bring an answer, to get you out of the tomb, to get that stone rolled away, to silence all the things that are trying to keep you shut down and bring you back to life. That's what He did for Jesus. And if we reach out to Him in this time, I know that He's going to be doing that in your life. I want to bring you a story about another kind of resurrection that happened in the New Testament, where it says in Luke 7, verse 11, now it happened the day after that Jesus went into the city called Nain. Many of His disciples went with Him and a large crowd. When He came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, He had compassion on her, and He said to her, do not weep. Then He came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried Him stood still. And He said, young man, I say to you, arise. So he who was dead sat up and began to speak. And Jesus presented him to his mother. Wow, what a story. I mean, it is a fantastic account of a miracle of resurrection that Jesus brought into a person's life. Why did that happen? Not because Jesus prayed for a person and raised them from the dead, but because Jesus himself is the resurrection. When you connect with him, you connect with power that resurrects things from the dead. And so today, we are celebrating and looking forward to celebrating at Easter, the resurrection power. And here it is, in fact, impacting another person. So he comes to the city, and the city's called Nain. It's a small city. It's like a city you wouldn't normally go to. But obviously when Jesus woke up that morning, even though he was going in this direction, Nain was off the beaten track. It was off the main road. So he had to take a detour to get there. Obviously God said, I want you to go to this insignificant little town because I have a job for you there. And so Jesus went that way with his disciples and all the people who were with him. Now in this town, a very sad thing had happened. And it would have happened the day before. Because the funeral was happening that day that Jesus arrived. There was a young couple at some stage who loved life and got married at the synagogue and living with plans and dreams in their mind about how they're going to own a little unit on Lake Galilee and how they would have a family, and it was going to be all so wonderful. Now, Michael, the husband's name, he had a job up in the forestry in the mountains, and they would be chopping down trees and all kinds of things all day long. But he was the foreman and he looked after things up there. And he'd come back home and his wife would have that eat supper together. It was a beautiful time. They were saving up hard to get that unit, to get that little townhouse that they were looking forward to. And he was getting promotions at his job. Everything was working out just fine. It was looking, the future was looking secure, looking incredible. And then, lo and behold, he comes home one day and she's got that strange smile on her face. She's going like, guess what? She holds up the pregnancy test kit. Yep, she's positive. And the house was full of joy. I mean, the neighbors gathered around, everybody was there, dancing, singing, and it was a very happy moment. And every day Michael would go up into the forest, he couldn't feel any happier. He loved his wife, looked forward to having this little boy. And time passed, and here he was, this little kid, he came into the world, Michael Jr. And they had him, and all the village celebrated, and they were asking, when's the next one going to be? She was saying, well, we'll just give it a few years and then maybe we'll go again and that'll be great. And so the little boy grew up. He's a fine kid, beautiful kid. And then one day, we're right up in the mountains, there's a huge storm, thunder, lightning, just storm like never before. And the rain was pelting down. Dark skies. Then around about 5 o'clock that night, it's getting very dark. Husband's normally home by about 4:30. So she wasn't too worried, but this woman, Elizabeth, she wasn't easily given to worry. She's a strong woman, good woman. And then at 5 o'clock, there's this knock on the door. She goes out there and there are lights going and it's a policeman. And he says, look, you need to come with us. There's been an accident. So they drive up and now she's getting worried. She's wringing her hands as they go through the, she's got her little boy, Michael Jr., right by her side. And they get up into the top of the forest and there's a huge tree that's been knocked over by lightning. And there's a body lying underneath with the yellow jacket and just there. And her head spins because she recognizes straight away, that's her husband. She starts screaming at the sky, screaming at the whole world around her, just out of control herself. little boy looking very confused. He's around 5, 6 years old now, and holding on to his mother, and she goes over and strokes the head of her husband, but he's lifeless, cold, gone. And they pack her up, Elizabeth, into the car, and take her back down the mountain, take her back home. She's in shock. She can't even feel her own body. She's sitting in the lounge room for hours, staring into nothing. Doctors have been there, helped sedate her a little, and friends have come to help her look after Michael. All the blinds are drawn. It's months before those blinds come up again. Gradually, as time passes, little Michael Jr. grows. A smile creases its way back into Elizabeth's mouth, and she sees this fine young man, all the features of his father, magnificent. He grows up to be a very responsible young boy. She's happy. She's had a couple of suitors who have come and said, could we marry? And she has no interest in that. She's just thinking, me and my boy, that will be it. And they've managed to set up a really nice home. Things are looking good. He's 15 now. He's got a part-time job after school and helps out his mother, turns 16. And comes into 17, she decides, well, he's old enough to get his license. I better help him out. And so with their savings, they've got a little car. He gets his license. And so she makes sure he's got his mobile phone with him so he knows where she is and she knows where he is. And that's how it goes. So after a week or so, and he's just hasn't been driving for too long, he says, look, I'm going out with my friends, and we're going to go on a little journey up through the hills. And she says, well, be careful and drive safely and take your phone. And so off he goes. And then the afternoon wears on. It's a little late, and it's actually starting to get dark again. It's like 5:30. He hasn't rung. And he should have been back by now. But then at 6 o'clock, there's a knock on the door. And she goes to the door, opens it. It's a policeman again. Her head spins. She goes, no. How could this be? And so she what happened? They said, I think you better come with us. They go, and there's a crossroads where there's been a huge smash. There's a truck, and there's two cars, and there's... And she instantly recognizes. One of them is her boy, Michael Jr.'s car. And he's died in the crash. She collapses on the ground. She can't understand this. How could God do this? Her first question. Her second thought in her mind is, what's the point of living? There's no point. Everything that I get happy about is taken away from me. She screams. She's all alone, so alone. Can't believe. She's in disbelief. She goes home looking for Michael in every room, thinking maybe it's just a dream, maybe it's not real. But obviously it is. The next day, the entire village shuts down and creates a funeral procession. All dressed in dark, all dressed in black. They feel so deeply for this widow woman who now lost her only boy, her only son. And they're following a coffin down through the streets out to the cemetery. That very morning, God had spoken to Jesus and said, I want you to go to Nain. And Jesus starts approaching Nain. Now, his procession is a little different. People are strumming guitars, banging tambourines, dancing. They've all got wild, colorful garments on, spinning as they walk. There's literally thousands of them. There's 2,000 of these, 3,000 of these. Caravan of color, and people dancing and joyful all around you, when, Because they were around Jesus. They were following a living man. They were following Jesus the Savior. The procession of death was quiet, somber, sad, depressed, because they're following a dead man. At the front of their procession was a dead boy, a very sad situation full of pathos and pain. And these two processions meet. This wild, colorful, dancing procession meets this deadly quiet, somber, sad procession. Who's going to win? Life or death? Well, Jesus looks at the woman and the Bible says he loved her, had compassion for her. That's what motivated Jesus. That's what motivates him today, to reach out to people who are struggling with a lot of pain, a lot of disaster, a lot of struggle, and even death in their world. He loves you. He cares about you. We care about you. And reaching out to you today is part of that love. And Jesus reached out to that coffin. He walked over to it, looked at the mum, said, I'm gonna put your world back together again. But God, he came into that woman's world. He reached over into the coffin and he said, young man, I say to you, arise, get up. And instantly, the boy opened his eyes and came alive. Sends shivers through me when I think about that. I go like, really? I mean, wow. And I know of people who've been raised from the dead. I've prayed for some people at various times through the last 50 years of following Christ who virtually have come back from a position of near death, out of breath and off machinery that was keeping them alive for a certain number of hours and seen their life come back to them. It's an astonishing thing when you bring Christ into a situation, how powerful that but God power is in your finances, in your medical condition, in your job, in your housing. Christ is able to come into your life, not just with a theory, not just with theology, but with power to change circumstances. And that's the difference between Jesus and everybody else who has had great thoughts. I mean, there have been some amazing sages and wise people throughout all the ages and said some incredible things that are brilliant. But you won't find one of them who was crucified and then 3 days later rose from the dead. It's not just the theory or the teaching of Christ, it's the person himself that is alive today. And great sages have come and gone, but Jesus is forever. And he has that power to raise the dead. Well, he went to that coffin, the young boy rose. Can you imagine the shock, the sheer, stark unbelief at the beginning and then turning into such an extreme joy? He transformed a procession of death into a procession of joyful celebration in a second. As that boy stood up, every reason for weeping and crying was over. He looked at his mother. Jesus said, here's your mother. The woman who had lost everything, the woman who had lost her husband, lost her future, then lost her son, now had her boy back. What a God we serve. What a Jesus, what a person Jesus is. His love for you is exactly the same. No matter what you're facing, but God has the power to transform your world right now. If you've never receive Jesus into your heart, please, right now, pray this prayer with me. Receive him. If you feel like you're in that coffin, stuck, locked in, off to the grave, it doesn't have to be like that. Whatever medical situation, whatever condition, whatever's going on in your world, let me tell you, Jesus is the answer. Reach out to Him. He's going to come into your world right now. If you're coming back to Christ, please pray the prayer as well. And if you just need to be sure you're going to heaven, I invite you to pray this prayer with me. Let's say these words to God together. Dear God in heaven, I ask Jesus Christ to come into my life. I ask to be born again. Cleanse me from all sin. Make me your child. Help me follow you. Thank you, God, for saving me. Amen. Lord, I pray for the peace of God to be on anyone who prayed that prayer right now, that they will sense the presence of God Himself. If you did just pray that prayer, please just let us know on the live chat and or else contact us on the details below on your screen, and we'll stay in touch with you to help you follow Christ. And so I would also like to pray for anybody who's struggling with a medical condition, or you're facing illnesses that are troubling you, or even family members right now. I just get a sense every time I pray for people with any malady or difficulty in their life of any kind, of specific areas that we could pray for. Now, I want to pray today for anybody who's struggling with mental illness, and you are feeling depression or being overwhelmed with anxiety in your thinking, or anybody who is feeling strong drawings to suicide. Now listen to me, the power of God is greater than those feelings you have. And I know that He can help you. And so I would invite you to reach out to Him right now. Now, I'm not advising you at all to stop taking medication or any of those sorts of things, but I am saying include God in your world today. And I know that He will start to bring answers. Heavenly Father, I pray for the healing power of Christ to come and ease troubled minds right now. In the name of Jesus, I bind every force of darkness, every evil spirit that would try and oppress people and destroy their lives. In the name of Jesus, we command freedom. We command freedom for every person watching this program today. I also believe that God will heal people who have heart conditions. You're struggling medically with heart conditions, heart murmurs, and the wrong rhythms. God, I pray for healing of those heart conditions right now. And I know that healing will come into their world. Anybody with a lung infection, there's healing for you. Anybody who's struggling with any kind of illness whatsoever, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Let your spirit travel into their world today, Father, bringing the healing power of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope that message really blessed you. I'm believing with you for your future and your present to be blessed with a complete abundance. Hey, let me tell you about C3 College Online. It's a course that includes areas of leadership, ministry, moving in the power of the Spirit, many other areas. And I'd love you to check it out over at c3syd.church. If you go there, it'll take you to our online services as well as to our website. And so there you'll be able to find out a whole lot more about C3 College Online. We're taking applicants right now for our mid-year intake, and at present they're wiping the $155 sign-up fee. So could be a good time to hunker down with the Word of God and increase your understanding and your revelation in the Word of God. Look forward to talking with you again next week. God bless.